Hey, what's going on, Clipper comrades? It's me, William the Opinion Update.
And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler. You're really pushing for the Clipper comrades name.
I think it's funny. I think it's great. Anyways, we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
Even though the season's over, we're still bringing you Clippers news 5 days a week. Couldn't be happier to do it.
There's a bunch of stuff going on.
There's some great stuff. Anyways, today, it's our What You Say Wednesday segment. In case you're unaware, Chuck usually puts out a poll every single Tuesday asking just, you know, just some general questions about how everybody's feeling, gauging some responses. This one is sort of about Trez's role and what it's going to look like next season.
This is a barn burner.
So
this
thank you to everybody who voted in that. And also there were some great questions, so we're going to address those as well. And then in segment two, we've got to have a leadership talk. We've talked a lot about the lack thereof for the Clippers team.
Yes.
And certainly, you know, an absence of cohesiveness due to said lack of leadership.
Yeah.
So we're going to dig into that and talk about who could be the next leader for this Clippers squad. And then we got some shavings for you. A fan favorite could possibly come back to the Clippers, even if it makes no sense. And then there's some other Clippers offseason updates. So stay tuned for all of that and more. Coming up
you
right
are
about
Locked
now.
On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so welcome to What You Say Wednesday. Thank you to everyone who voted. This is kind of a recurring thing that happens, you know, when we have some good questions to put out on a Tuesday. But yeah, appreciate that you can find that at Locked On Clips. Also, follow just for some fun content every now and then. But the question was about Montrezl Harrell. And there's still, so before we get into the actual question, where, just kind of gut feeling wise, are you at with Trez possibly re-signing with the team?
I think they're going to gauge the market value.
Yeah.
And if they feel they can get something for the price, or if they feel like they're going to get value out of the contract, I absolutely think they'll give him an offer. I think it'd be a bad show to not offer it to him. I mean, he did win Sixth Man of the Year.
That's a good call, kind of just like a, or like at least not, you know, like remember what we did with Tobias, where it was like, we're going to offer you this contract, but we know you're going to say no.
Yeah.
So it's like a good faith thing. But I think extending an offer seems like a good
business. I think you have to, right? Yeah. This is like, this is one of the few pieces of talent that we have developed.
very true.
Even though we didn't draft him, we got him via trade. So I do think there's a chance, but I'm kind of leaning towards he's going to be able to find a better value somewhere else.
Yes. I'm a little torn because I was when Doc was the coach, I was like, this guy is gone because Doc won't get out of his own way with playing him in crunch time minutes.
Yeah.
Right? So one of them had to go. And I don't know. He's in LA. He's working out with Rico Hines, I'm pretty sure today, Tuesday when we're recording this. But I think I'm at maybe like 60-40, he comes back.
60, he comes back.
Yeah. It depends on what Lou can pitch too, with what and what Trez wants also. Like, and this isn't based on scuttlebutt or anything that I've heard, but it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, so I've also been kind of looking at some other blogs from teams who are kind of interested in signing Harrell. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to get kind of a different look and a breakdown on some of his stats.
Yeah.
You know, he's, you know, solid in terms of like, you know, he's really great at putbacks. He's in like the A-minus range or the 88th percentile.
Oh, wow.
So, that, you know, and like
the things he does well, he does so well is what's tough with Trez. His touch is insane.
Yeah, I mean,
finishing is great.
His finishing, like, I don't know if we'll get a better. I don't know that we'll get as good of a finisher.
Yeah.
On the open market for a lower price range. So you know, there are definitely positives, but I like where this poll is headed. Why don't you phrase it for the listeners?
So we mentioned in this universe where Trez comes back, be it this universe or a parallel one that's eerily similar. Now that Ty Lue is head coach, do you feel that Trez will be better utilized for the Clippers? And people were pretty split on this. We had 434 votes. Again, thank you to everyone who voted. Also, we hope everyone's voting in this election. Please vote.
Oh, yeah, just in general vote.
The yeses had 45% of the vote, while the noes came out ahead with 55%, so pretty even.
This is nearly a wash.
Nearly a wash. Had some great takes. Rudy Zavala, shout out Raz 49ers. he voted no. He said he's missing a lot of skills in the modern, in terms of modern day basketball. He can't be utilized any better than Doc did. I don't think he fits well with the Clippers, in his opinion. That Doc point is pretty damn accurate.
Yeah.
Like, we had peak Trez, you know, regular season. Also, try and get the playoffs.
We got to see past that.
It's hard.
We definitely do have to see past that because he was solid in regards in the regular season, and he is a player that does help you get those regular season wins.
Yes.
On a night in, night out basis. So I think that he might be able to utilize him better than Doc did. I was looking at like some similarity scores on Basketball Reference, and you know, he has very similar dimensions and better scoring numbers, but otherwise similar numbers to Tristan Thompson. And
yeah,
I think
okay.
If you could get Trez to buy in, right?
Yeah.
If you could get him to be at that, if Ty could get him to buy in and be at that 15-16 level Tristan Thompson, where the scoring is definitely going to take a back seat, but he's, you know, averaging 10 rebounds a game. I mean, I think that could work. Like, I think that it could... I don't know that it's the best answer, but it is an answer if we do end up deciding to keep Trez. But I totally agree with Rudy on the, you know, like he doesn't have a modern skill set.
He's not going to pass. He's not going to throw gorgeous passes out of the high post. He's not going to. Yeah. And like the things that we need him to shore up, like rebounding is such a big thing. We're like, dude, if you can get to double-double status.
Yes.
Real double-double status.
Yes.
That would be fantastic for those minutes when we need you to soak it up. Right. But. And thankfully, with Ty Lue, we're not going to see him playing the entirety of second halves if he comes back.
Definitely. And he's not so far away from a rebounding perspective. You know, he averaged about 7 this last season, which is a career high for him. So I do think 10 isn't an unfeasible jump. But, like, is he comfortable taking a backseat on the scoring aspect?
Exactly. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. At Cinca, she voted yes. She said yes with a caveat. I think he would and voted that way, but not in a role he would want. So that's another challenge.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Like, couldn't agree more.
And a lot of from what we've talked about with Ty Lue stuff, and like Justin Russo posted about it, LA Clippers Film posted about it, which again, if for some reason you're listening to this podcast and not following those two people, please go follow those people. They will make you smarter about basketball. They were posting that a lot of what Ty Lue does is drilled down. You know, like because there's an actual plan, unlike with maybe Doc, there's like you got to drill down what you're going to do.
Yeah.
So I wonder if, like, if Trez comes back, I think Lue could motivate him enough to get him to buy in.
Yeah, so I definitely agree with you. You know, he has handled, that Cavs locker room to me with just how much upturn was every single season. You know, at the trade deadline, like, so many people getting moved. Nobody was safe. To me, he's walking into an easier locker room than that.
That's fair.
But I do still think it deserves to beg the question, how much of a negative impact is Trez on a locker room?
We don't know 100% for sure, but we know that it's more than 1% sure. can just say, right?
Yeah.
Like,
which is something that we never would have talked about the season before last.
Yeah, no, not at all. But that's going to be a big question mark because that's a big one.
And only, you know, the front office is going to know the answer to that.
Yeah. Truly. Mr. Do What I Want says he's a regular season guy, but in the postseason, his minutes have to shrink. Undersized center who's a liability on defense. The playoffs is where the game slows down. Ty needs to have the balls to sit him if he isn't producing. Nailed it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think, you know, to Ty's credit, that he is that kind of coach who, if it's not working, he's not going to keep pounding our collective heads against the wall.
Yeah.
Watching those minutes and watching leads evaporate and watching, you know, deficits get built. At least I hope, you know, like we haven't seen Ty Lue yet with the Clippers, so we don't know, but, given some of his previous tenures, I would guess that he's not going to be a ride or die if something isn't working.
Yeah. And you know, I just keep going back to that, that Ty Lue game 7, shut the F up to LeBron. Like Ty Lue's not taking any shit.
Yeah.
Is what it seems like. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I don't know where Trez, you know, a lot of people talk about Trez ending up, you know, kind of the hometown team, the Charlotte Hornets, which I could see. There's only like 5 teams with cap space.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a little tough.
The Suns are going to have around 8. So this is coming. I read an interesting article from SB Nation's Suns blog, Bright Side of the Sun. Check
great,
them out.
Great blog.
Check them out if you're interested in the Suns. They're kind of a fun team. But they talked about an interest in Montrezl Harrell. They see Aaron Baines most likely walking in the offseason.
I would love Aaron.
Deal.
If they sign Trez and we sign Aaron Baines, I'm with it.
So Aaron Baines is just as poor defensively as Trez.
Oh, yeah. But he does a lot more offensively. He's a better passer and he's a better shooter.
Not a better finisher.
True.
Not even close.
But the shooting, I think, it opens up a bench five-out lineup that we've kind of all been clamoring for. Like, Jermichael and Baines out there is a bit of a goofy fit when you look at it, but like...
The space.
The space is there. The Baines is there. Is a legit seven-footer.
Yep. There are some health concerns.
There are some health concerns. And so that's one thing we didn't talk about with Trez. His durability, like... His durability is unmatched, I would maybe say.
If you include the playoffs as an outlier, he's also been a really consistent performer. Like he has kind of consistently brought a reliable amount of points and rebounds as well. Maybe the rebounds aren't where we'd like them to be, but you know, he has been consistent.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot. How do you like his fit on the Suns?
I think it's interesting. I just don't know. I don't know if it's enough defensively. Like they're already, a little on the soft side defensively.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe Trez, maybe that spirit that he has is what the locker room needs there. Mm-hmm. It already seems like they actually have a pretty great locker room. So, but I could see him kind of fitting in with the Suns vibe. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I get that.
I think that could be an okay fit. It's just going to depend on the number. They have more cap space than us, obviously, to sign him. And we don't know exactly what that number is going to look like. But I'm still guessing it's going to be around 12. And I don't know if the Clippers are going to be willing to go quite that high.
Very good call. Let us know if you didn't get a vote in. Let us know what you think about Trez. It is difficult to not think about it with the lens of the collapse.
Yeah.
Over our eyes, but try as we might, we got to move on. Coming up, we're going to be talking leadership, kind of Kawhi's role in that, what might need to change. But first, we got to give a shout out to Built Bar.
Got it.
They're helping us keep the lights on over here. The new Built Bar is improved. It's even more delicious. Comes in 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut. The 6 new flavors are tantalizing. There's a caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp, which, hey, that doesn't sound too bad. Built Bars are fantastic, great for the keto diet, great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, all the good lows, all the good highs. The peanut butter flavor is, I like that one. Kind of a boring person like that. It's got 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, just 5 net carbs. You got to go to BuiltBar.com, get this special offer. You'll get $10 off your next order if you use promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. One more time, that is promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
All right, so we're back, and we're talking leadership right now. That was definitely an issue for the Clippers, this sort of clash of personalities in the locker room from the old guard to the new guard. Mm-hmm. And, it's only compounded by the fact that Kawhi and Paul George both, I don't think, ever really stepped up to the plate to lead the locker room. And I think that with Pat Bev's injury, I don't think that he necessarily got to the point of leading the locker room that we maybe would have expected.
For sure. And that part of that's Doc's fault.
Agreed.
Which is what's difficult.
Agreed.
There's this thing where I feel like we all kind of thought the locker room was like a fun spot vibe-wise.
Yeah.
When it very much did not, behind closed doors, wasn't. Definitely something there's two camps,
We need to go full Lord of the Flies and have the conch shell.
I don't think we need to do that.
Speak,
yeah. The speaking pencil or whatever it is. There's some stuff. They brought in Reggie Jackson. Reggie Jackson, Paul George, really good friends. Lockers next to each other per request. That may have been a thing, There's just these little things where it's like...
I don't think that would have mattered.
Yeah, you never know. But it's like, those are things where if you already have this kind of culture that Doc seemingly had where it's kind of not us versus them because that puts way too much of an onus on it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have kind of a, protected group where it's like they can do whatever they want, but I need you guys to be what you were doing last year. It can be kind of like, well, what the?
Yeah.
Come on, man. But there was a tweet about Kawhi being a leader by example. And Hardwood Proxism, great account. Go follow it. We'll make you smarter about basketball. Yeah, just go check him out. If you're probably following him already. He quoted this tweet about Kawhi being a leader by example and had this to say. He said, I will maintain to my deathbed that leads by example is just code for isn't a leader but is just the best player. It removes responsibility by saying that all you have to do is your job well, which is not leadership.
I think this is completely succinct, and you know, we talked about this, like being the best player on the team, I don't think is always enough.
No.
I would say not even always. I would think most times is not enough.
Yeah.
You need to have that person who is the driving force, and that, you know, that kind of goes into sort of what the identity and culture of a team is.
Yeah.
Is, you know, like who is the voice in the locker room? Who is that person that everyone is willing to follow? And what do they stand for?
And, you know, if there was more leadership, maybe there is more of a chance that we see, you know, certain players playing later in games when other players shouldn't be playing later in games, right? Like if there's a more, which sounds not like a mutiny type situation, but if there's more of a cohesive,
a boiling.
Yeah. If there's more of a cohesive, you know, just feeling around the whole thing, that leadership can really help get that point through.
Agreed.
To a pretty stubborn coach that we know.
Agreed.
But I think this is kind of right about Kawhi, and that's not disrespecting Kawhi at all. He's a top two NBA player.
Oh, definitely.
But there's that intangible thing, you know, like Paul George is the same way.
Yeah.
Paul George did not step up and lead in any way really for the Clippers.
I would say the opposite. He deferred quite a bit.
Yes.
Which I do think is a troubling quality for a player who, you know, is supposed to be the second best player on your team. You know, you would want you would want them to sort of be to be willing to step up and take the reins a little bit. And I guess I look at it almost like, you know, another name that kind of comes to mind is like Kevin Durant, a guy who is one of the best players, obviously, in the NBA. I mean, top three for sure. He doesn't really want to be the leader of a locker room. And I think that that's fine.
Just defer to Kyrie. What could go wrong?
Or somebody else.
No, I know.
You know, because that Warriors team, they had their own leadership style and they had their own thing.
They had their core, right?
Yeah.
They had their big three already.
Yeah, and they had their vocal locker room voices and everything. They had an identity.
And they got past friction.
Yes,
like,
definitely.
To an extent, obviously, but like they still got the job done.
Definitely.
When there was friction.
Definitely. And we, you know, I think we did lose a little bit too much of what that sort of 18-19 core was
100%.
To have players that could just kind of defer and still have that culture be present.
Yeah, because everyone was kind of deferring, right? Like it was like it's that plucky underdog thing where it's like now the expectations are they're way higher. Mm-hmm. It's a much more real, and it's also tangible expectations, right? Like it's not crazy to be like, oh yeah, the Clippers could win the title. That's not a reach for the sky. Or like, you know, reaching for the stars type thing. That's a very real thing. The guy's got to step up and lead the other players too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on court, Kawhi is very much a vocal leader. Like,
yes,
it seems like he's a little more, seemingly maybe when he's more frustrated,
mm-hmm.
he starts being more vocal. So like, and you know, we hear reports like, oh, he's a funny guy, that kind of thing. Like Lou's talked about it. But it just like, it didn't work last year. Whatever his leadership strategy, not that he plans these things out or something like that, but whatever it was, it kind of fell short. And that's not to say that this loss was all on Kawhi, obviously. Yeah, he didn't show up in games.
No, not at all. But I mean, I think at the same time, it's one of those things that I do feel like maybe a little bit we should have seen coming. Like, you know, Kawhi has a certain reputation. And I don't think that that's a positive or a negative. It just is what it is. You know,
he
doesn't want to be the guy who has to tell everybody everything in the locker room. And I think that that's fine because of what he produces on the court.
Yes.
So I think that that should have been a larger concern coming into the season for me that I kind of let pass by. Thinking that, you know, having Pat was enough, having... You know,
you look at the Raptors, you know, they had Kyle Lowry. Like, they had other guys to do that.
Yeah. You got Gasol. You got Lowry. You got, I mean, Pascal, who's young, but a big piece of the team. You have Fred VanVleet, who You know, seems to be willing to step up and lead when it's needed.
For
so
sure.
It was just different this year. And I do think that part of that loss of leadership was definitely due to injuries. And, you know, just not ever really having a full team together. Like, things get really wishy-washy and really weird when you don't even know what your lineups are going to be on a night-to-night basis.
100%.
So it's definitely not all on Kawhi or Paul George, but it's one of those things that definitely would have been nice and I do think would have improved the result of the team.
100%. Now, real quick, who do we think is going to be the, you know, outright locker room leader of the Clippers next season?
They may not be on the team yet.
Hey, Aaron Baines? No.
Aaron Baines was a great locker room guy by all accounts in Boston.
That's a good call.
He's
no,
a veteran. He's a veteran. He was a Spur.
He'd be good in the locker room. He wouldn't be the leader of the locker room. No, I think...
got a great top knot, you know, that people can follow that.
Yeah, I think Pat Bev is in the running to be it. I think depending what we see from Ty Lue might end up being the leader of this team. And I know that sounds possibly idiotic because he is, of course, the head coach, so he's leading the team. But in terms of that locker room-ness...
I would love that.
It'd be great. It's going to be tough. He's going to have to definitely, you know, kind of plant his flag
and
pretty
I mean
quickly.
That, you know, that might kind of contradict or, you know, not be the best for him relationship-wise with players. But we'll see, you know. Winning solves every single problem.
Also,
the thing.
That. The Clippers start off hot. We probably won't even have this conversation again. coming up... We got a whole mess of Clippers, just kind of an off-season check-in, seeing how guys are doing. Plus, a former, the strongest man in the league who used to play for the Clippers, posted an interesting tweet. But first...
We got to talk about something else.
What do we have to talk about?
All right, fellas. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually, you just kind of brush it off. You can blame yourself, you know? Or just sweep it under the rug and avoid it altogether. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, it's safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and most importantly, discreet. Getting things started is simple. Just go to roman.com/lockedonNBA and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to getroman.com/lockedonNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's getroman.com/lockedonNBA. One more time, getroman.com/lockedonNBA.
Okay, welcome to Shavings. Hey, welcome to Shavings.
to yourself.
Yeah, just, you know, just saying what's up to me. Danilo Gallinari, the Rooster. Gallo, formerly of the fantastic duo Tobio.
Yes.
Tobias and Gallo. That was some good times. Posted a pic that said, where to next with him in Clippers, Knicks, Nuggets, and Thunder jerseys. Again, also friendly reminder, Gallo does not run his own social media, which is pretty disappointing.
Yeah.
Because he posts highlight videos of himself quite a bit, which is great. What is this a real thing? Gallo, like clip Gallo on the Clippers? We kind of touched on it, I think, last week, but it doesn't seem like it makes any sense.
These are all teams that he's played on before. So
yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, you're talking in the real. If there's a real scenario of him going to the Clippers, you know, I love Gallo. I think that it only makes sense. It makes sense depending on what happens with Jamichael Green and Marcus Morris. So
I would, either of those guys. I'm like, yeah, we need to get both of those guys. They're both better than Gallo. For this team.
Well, I mean, pros and cons.
I think they're both better than Gallo.
Yeah, that's fair. Gallo has had a rough playoffs. Had a rough playoffs last year. Yeah, I think that assuming that we're able to re-sign both those guys, which has got to be one of the first priorities.
Definitely.
It doesn't make sense. The fit doesn't make any sense unless we really commit to a crazy five-out lineup with him at the five and
at
the four. And,
that'd be fun.
And just spit on the idea of defense.
Yeah, who needs defense when you're scoring, you know, that many points? No, it, I mean, it'd be fun, but I don't think he's coming to the Clippers. It would be, again, it would be fun if it worked right.
Definitely.
You know, Clipperholics posted, like, a Would You Want Gallo Back? And everyone was kind of like, no. Like, he is a great passer, which I think, you know, better passer than maybe Mook or Jamichael, but worse at other things that are maybe more important for what his role would be specifically.
Yeah, the defense would be difficult. And, you know, health is always going to be a concern.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer.
For
but,
sure.
But it is what it is.
And, you know, wouldn't have as much of a demand on his body for this team compared to the Thunder.
Yeah.
In terms of load managing, if you will. But, yeah, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe we will sign him?
Probably I don't think so.
I don't think so. Now for some just Clippers offseason updates. Just checking in on the guys on their Instagrams. Patrick Patterson, who is genuinely, I think, the strongest person I've maybe ever seen in person.
He's a very strong dude.
His pregame workout is terrifying.
Yeah.
Which is a great example to set also for the young guys. Always ready to play. He was doing some kind of TIB exercise on his Instagram where it's basically he had like weights on top of his foot and was just kind of flexing his foot up and down. And it's a very, it's like a minuscule movement, right? Like it's not like some big thing like the bench press or anything like that. And he's just pouring sweat while he's doing it, which leads me to believe he is lifting 900 pounds with one foot. Because I don't, like this exercise looks like it would kill a regular human being.
Seems like a vanity exercise.
Oh, wow. Calling out Patrick Patterson's gym habits. You and Patrick, do you think Patrick Patterson could bench three times as much as you?
Yeah, probably.
Four?
Are you being serious? Four, I don't know. Four seems like a lot.
Yeah. Man, it would be crazy to see what his just like max reps are.
Yeah.
They're probably terrifying.
Like one rep max?
Yeah.
I mean, I
never work out, so I don't even know what the real terms are.
I would guess, I don't know, in one rep max.
He could do three. He's got, his nickname is Shoulders. Trez calls him
Shoulders. He could definitely do more than three. I mean, like people who are strong, who work out a lot, you can generally do a one rep max of like two times your body weight.
Jesus Christ. That's a lot.
So I would guess he could probably one rep max at least 450 pounds.
Man, good for Patrick Patterson. Pat Bev just hanging out with his kid at the beach. Seemed like a good time. Just some wholesome content. No word or evidence of any Timberlands being worn and ran in.
Not even the kid?
Not even the kid. Didn't start the kid early yet with the Tim's on the beach training. We'll be monitoring that as this offseason continues. Terrence Mann was in Miami getting some run in with former Clipper Jerome Robinson.
Like it.
So random.
That's fun.
Like the connection is kind of random.
That's just a good fun time.
That's just a good time. Also, Terrence Mann was hitting some corner threes, which was good to see. Might need those from him next season. He was pretty hesitant this year from shooting.
He definitely picked up his confidence, though, later. I was really impressed with what we were able to get out of Terrence kind of in the bubble. And, you know, he did almost have a triple-double one game, which I never thought from what I saw from Terrence from the beginning of the season would be the case.
Yes.
And we still don't know what his development or minutes are going to look like next season, but, he is still a piece of this young core, and I do think somebody who we can at least be marginally excited about.
Absolutely. We also, breaking news, this just got this tweet. The Clippers have officially finalized Ty Lue's deal.
Okay.
Which is great. The organization said the pieces are in place, committed ownership, smart management, and elite talent on and off the court, and the NBA's best market, Ty Lue said. My familiarity with the organization, particularly Mr. Ballmer and Lawrence, confirm this is where I want to be. We have worked to become champions, but we have the motivation, the tools, and the support to get there. I'm excited to get started. Yeah, let's be excited.
I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty pumped. And, I know that I do this every year, and I can't hurt every year. But
you're allowed to be happy, though, sometimes.
I'm happy.
Clippers fans, you're allowed to be happy. There's going to be times we're going to be frustrated with Ty Lue. We don't know what his deficiencies are yet with this Clippers team in particular.
Yeah, we have no idea what this team looks like on the court yet.
But we know what the strengths are, which is tinkering and not being, you know, focusing completely at the task at hand.
Yes.
Which is a good time. On this final note.
And gold rings in
and
the mouth.
And gold rings dropping out of your mouth at random times. Please, everyone, go look up that clip. I've mentioned it a couple times in social circles, and no one else has heard of it, so I've had to explain it, which is never a good time.
It was a big deal to me.
Yeah. That was, yeah, we need, that was a culture reset.
That and a suited man at one point in a Spurs regular season game. Manu Ginobili just held out his hand, and there was a man who I don't believe was an assistant coach who just handed him chapstick, like, without any words said. I don't know if he was just his personal chapstick guy.
Or when Manu caught that bat.
What's that?
Or when Manu caught that bat.
Yeah.
That's what the 57th pick gets you.
Or when Shea swung on that bat. Why are there so many bats in San Antonio?
I don't know. Bunch of bats in Texas. I think they have that crazy bridge where you can, like, you stand over it. It was an episode of King of the Hill. And, like, thousands of bats.
Bats are,
like,
cool.
Yeah. Welcome to Lockdown Bats. No, final note. Trez had his first workout with Rico Hines on Tuesday, which is great. Asked him if he had COVID. Rico Hines laughed, said, I don't have COVID. Fun note, Trez has been doing the hashtag Beanie Trez. He seems to be wearing beanies at all of these workouts.
It's so Trez.
dude, I like...
I love it.
Do you think they'll allow it because they took away his awesome headbands a couple seasons ago?
No. I don't think they'll allow beanies on court.
Why not? I would, dude, beanies on court.
Beanies on court, I think, is awesome. I don't think that they're going to
allow it.
Well,
Trez has very long hair right now, so every clip I think of him dunking, the beanie is falling off. Shout out to Trez. Keep getting that work in. You will say this about Trez. He works hard.
He has been working hard.
Anything else in shaving?
No, let's get the heck out of here.
Shout out Ty Lue, man. Happy to have him on board. Thursday's episode, we're talking Thirsty Thursday. Just things we want to see from the organization as a whole. Maybe some new, you know, in-arena fun stuff.
Yeah.
Who knows? Some more potential draft pick talk. There's a bunch of names flying around, of course. And then whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Will, where can these people tell their friends to listen to us?
You and your friends can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play a Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. If you like what we're doing, go ahead and give us a rating or review. It helps us out. Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks for rocking with us. We're still coming at you 5 days a week with this official
Ty Lue signing.
Yeah, with this official Ty Lue signing. There's things to get excited for. I can't wait until we're overreacting to some just great practice footage.
Yeah.
Some workout vids that we're just going to lose our minds over.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very excited, and I hope that you're excited too.
It's going to be a good time. We'll be with you all tomorrow. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.